All right, welcome in everybody to the DeFalco Files. I am Sin City Steve, filling in for Matt Michaels. And joining me, as always, is the owner and creator of Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good, staying busy, man. It's amazing how, you know, the little company that could, it's like, man, I'm so busy just putting things, you know. I just walked in. I was running a little late with you. You know, I saw I got a message. It was somebody out of El Paso asking, hey, we're interested in possibly renting the venue out for Mania weekend. And we have a thing called the Made Fight League who are renting the venue on Friday. And from what I understand, it's kind of, as I was told, it was Jerry Springer meets a boxing promotion. So we're going to see what that's about. So that's happening Friday. Of course, we got our show Saturday, Scars and Stripes. Usually we kind of do it right. 4th of July weekend. And a lot of times we try to do, you know, a barbecue. We've incorporated Fan Appreciation Day. Just didn't have the barbecue ready and doing stuff. Like to do that for the fans during the summer. It's hot in there. Hey, what better than cooking hot dogs and hamburgers inside the arena when it's 117?
As if it couldn't get any hotter, you know?
Exactly. And it's, you know, the next two big FSW shows are actually anniversaries of mine. So June 28th, Scars and Stripes purchased my house.
On June 28th,
1994. Yeah, I think it was 94. So yeah,
awesome. Congratulations.
Well, that was 31 years ago then, I guess. And then July 26th, I'm hitting the big 6-0. Man, it's crazy. It's like, man, 60 years old. It's like, I guess I should feel privileged. A lot of people don't live that long. So, you know, not that it's that long, but it's like, Christ. Kind of creeping up. So it's like two big holidays. We had our anniversary show, the last show, my house anniversary, and then my birthday anniversary. So
that's awesome, man. Well, happy early birthday.
So, and it was Father's Day. So it was like a double holiday. So, you know, what better than, you know, it's probably better to run on my birthday than, like, you know, holidays in general. Like, we had Easter last year and Father's Days and stuff like that. You know, you want to – it's tough enough in Vegas to get people to come out to something because there's so much to do. And we, you know, I try to make sure I don't run against EDC, but it seems like I have no problem running against, like, you know, an anniversary, an Easter, you know, whatever it is. So
that's awesome, man. Well, you know, let's dive right in. You did mention Scars and Stripes. So obviously we're going to talk a bit about that. So let's jump in there. Scars and Stripes is going to be live from the FSW Arena Saturday, June 28th. And again, if you can't be there live, it'll be right there on Triller. I know. We've talked a fair amount about Triller in the past, but
yeah, still waiting. It's now the last week of June, so you know I was promised that it would be taking place in June, so we're gonna see. So you know I have to make my preemptive strikes. You know I don't, and people say, hey, you know what? Sometimes Joe, you know, you talk too much, you give away too much information. You know what? I don't think it's too much information when I say, hey, July 12th, we're going to do Future Stock on the Title Match Network. You know, we're free to do whatever we like. We don't have any exclusivity. And it's like I hesitated before because, you know, it was a good relationship with Triller. They got a lot of people, you know. So I can't believe GCW ain't getting paid. I can't believe TNA is going to run another pay-per-view and they're not getting paid. So it's like, okay, just give me my money, you know, no big deal. You know, there's no harm, no foul, but it's like I seemingly get paid a little quicker on Title Match. You know, I uploaded some stuff, you know, they're on hold because they were like, hey, you know, when you send 60 things, not that they're paying a lot of money, but they're paying something, you know, and it's like, oh, by the way, now we got to wait 90 days. That, you know, that was never talked about before. And now all of a sudden it was like, you know, they must be related to my landlord at the FSW arena who come up with different ideas. Oh, no. Yeah, you got to fix. Oh, yeah. Even though it's our swamp cooler, you have to fix it when it goes bad, even though it's 30 years old and it existed before you were even a renter there. And it's like, I got to replace your water pump. That's what I thought my cans are for the upkeep of the building. Oh, well, yeah, not on the air conditioning now. So they snuck it into the last lease. And it's just like, you don't really have options. Yeah, you know, because you're such a good customer and you've been with us for 12 years, we're only going to raise your rent 38%. Thank you. I appreciate it. I can't imagine what other people are paying. And by dealing with the video wall people and stuff, I know what they're paying. And it's like, holy fuck. Like, it's mind-boggling. Like, I get a lot of people from California coming to Vegas, but they figured, you know, and that's also the problem. So many people come from California, and it's like, oh, wow, rent's only $5,000? Well, in Cali, it'd be $8,000. Well, this is Vegas. The warehouse space is aplenty, you know, and everybody is like, wow. You hear about all the struggles of businesses. It sure doesn't seem like it if you talk to these landlords, because they're trying to gouge, even though the person next to me for the third time has now moved. And across from me, you know, it's empty. To the other side of me is both of the spots are empty. So I don't know. Maybe it's because you raised the price so much. I don't know. So, you know, I would rather have my place running at capacity, making money.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah.
So, and that's why we've had to, you know, up what we're doing and trying to get the word out there and doing a ska music thing and trying to make sure, because we don't use that arena that much. You know, as I said, it's 168 hours a week we're open, and we're lucky to use it 20 hours a week. So, but it becomes hard. It's like, you know, hey, does somebody have a, you know, amateur wrestling, MMA, jiu-jitsu, karate, whatever you want to do, you know, and we've been fortunate that, you know, we have a nice enough venue where we can rent it on occasion, but it still wouldn't be nice to do it far more often.
Absolutely, man. You know, I just to kind of circle back to something you mentioned earlier, I've got to check out this Boxing Meets Jerry Springer, this experience.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's exactly what it would be.
Yeah. It's supposedly two fights. Okay. That lasts about 10 minutes each. So I'm interested to see. They say they're growing very quickly on Instagram, and they're on a pay-per-view site, and they claim that it's doing well. It's similar to the LFC, if you're a fan of that, and they have their following. It's not for everybody, you know, and it seems like these companies that come in and have that little core niche, they seem to make a lot more money per head than the traditional stuff. And it may not be something like when the LFC first started and they came to Vegas, we were the ones who got them in at the Silver Nugget. And I was just telling the story at the school earlier today. And the LFC is kind of gimmicky. And the funny thing is, if you went to that very first show, you saw people like cheerleader Melissa. You saw Machine, or Mia Yim, as she was known back then, one of the top independent wrestling women. And there was a lot of top name independent women wrestlers in this MMA type show. And they remember they advertised locally on Comp 92.3. So they didn't have a huge turnout, but the people they did have come to the show were these hardcore UFC type fans who I remember just kind of looking at each other around like, what the fuck are we watching? Because they knew it was a worked MMA type wrestling event that most of the people there weren't really in on the joke or in on the work. And right. They were kind of like, what is this? Like, they were like legit looking, you know, to see Conor McGregor against John Jones or something. And what they got was a pro wrestling match that was kind of, but I'll tell you what, man, the girls were slamming people into the cage. And you saw shit that, wow, if you saw it in the UFC, you'd be like, holy shit, this is fucking great. So they got a really big pay-per-view following, and you know, maybe this follows suit.
You never know, man. You never know. But stepping forward to this weekend, Scars and Stripes. Obviously, we know that new FSW champion Gregory Sharp is going to give his State of FSW address. Any kind of insight on what we might be able to expect other than that on the show?
No, well, yeah, but besides the state of the address, Gregory Sharp will be in action, and he said he will be defending the championship.
Oh, wow.
So the FSW title will be on the line, and I can tell you right now, Ice Williams will not be there. He will be down in Florida working a WWE ID event, okay. Which could be involved. It could be a TV taping. He just said he's working part of the ID thing. So that's going to be there. The Nick Bockwinkel Memorial Battle Royal winner, Luke Curtis.
Yeah.
He is going to be in a triple threat match with one of the rising young stars of FSW, Adrian Rain. And also the guy right above him, the former No Limits champion, Damian Drake. So Luke Curtis, who's also wrestled and took the FSW heavyweight champion, Gregory Sharp, to the limit, will be having his hands full in that match. Just announced the team, the OGs, Remy Marcel and Maserati. They will be teaming up once again in a mixed tag match. They'll be taking on a couple of the youngsters. She'd been gone for a while, but she'll be there with her boyfriend. Maybe the only person who in that locker room likes Davion Jacot. Which would be Dana Lynn. So that's going to be a mixed tag match right there. Mariachi Montaña, who you can see on the flyer. After their raucous Silverton anniversary show response, they're going to be taking on the Asylum featuring the Mastermind. And, you know, it's definitely very hard to, you know, scout that team because they're legit out of their minds. So got a tag team match there. Yeah. Hero Lou, who hasn't had a singles match in a very, very long time. He was in the Rumble and he was, you know, involved in some stuff. But we saw him at the anniversary show pretty much distance himself from MK and the Army. And the interesting thing is MK has announced that he will be there, but he will be there minus Duke Lawrence, the Nevada State champion, minus Kevin Koa, minus Zamaya, and minus Transcendence. So he will be there specifically to have a conversation. You know, I'll give MK credit, you know. Normally, I wouldn't really want to have a conversation with the guy who just put me through the door at the
exactly.
last day. But I believe MK believes money talks, and maybe he can convince Hero Lou to come back home. So that's going to be interesting because he found out Hero Lou was scheduled to be on the show wrestling. And, you know, MK's always scouting, MK said it's not a faction, it's an army. And as we've seen, he's continued to build the army. And when you have an army, the bigger, the better. So You know, he has five and he had Hero, which was six. Is he looking to build upon that army, or is he looking to get Hero Lou, you know, back in into the mix of that army? And despite him not wrestling a singles match in a long time either, the pain train, Dave Mazzani, got the itch. He said, Joe, I'm available. I'd like to have a match at Scars and Stripes. So Dave Mazzani, the firefighter, is not going to be in the Rumble or the Battle Royal because we're not having one. But he will be because usually, you know, he hasn't have time to train and he likes coming in these specialty matches. And we love Dave because he's always been a ticket seller. But oh, yeah. Dave wants to be, you know, Dave's feeling it. You know, he left for a while because he you know, wanted to become a firefighter. And that took a lot of time out. So he didn't have spare time. And now he wants to be back into the mix. And he's taking on the 6 foot six Sanders. So that's going to be an interesting matchup for both of them. You know, a lot of people feel Sanders is a guy who's been featured a lot on Future Shock. And he's really been a bully to a lot of the younger talent that many feel. So if he tries pulling that on Dave Mazzani, who, you know, knowing Sanders, he probably hasn't scouted Dave Mazzani too well and doesn't know that he was the EFC, which is the UFC of South Africa, and he was their lightweight champion. So even though he might have 80 pounds on Dave Mazzani, he may think he can kind of punk him out, and he might be in for a rude awakening. So
yeah,
it's good to see, you know, after the anniversary, it's a lot of times it's a reset process. Dante King will be on hand also. So, you know, on this show, Hero, Dave Mazzani, Damian Drake been gone a bit. So it's nice to see, you know, it's some fresh talent, some eyes, guys you haven't seen in a while. So it's going to be a pretty cool show.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, the thing is, obviously, yes, 6 foot six. But he could very well feel that iron claw, man, from Dave Mazzani. So I'll tell you, I think that that this just proves that with FSW's roster being the way that it is, you know, you mentioned the reset button. There's not so much of a reset. It's not any kind of a rebuild or anything like that. This is truly a reload. I mean, you've got... Coming out of the anniversary show, you've got a great lineup already for Scars and Stripes. And I do want to mention, I just want to talk for just a bit about somebody that made quite an impact at that anniversary show, winning that Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal. And you mentioned that he's going to be in that three-way at Scars and Stripes. Let's talk about Luke Kurtz. For somebody who is not familiar with him, what all can they expect from Luke Curtis in the ring, and what should they know about?
I thought you were going to surprise me and say you had him on hold, ready to come on the air. As I said,
we'll get that in the works.
I met Luke Curtis. My buddy Scott Hosey does a lot of the card and collectible shows.
Oh yeah.
And I remember walking in, and I saw D'Lo, and I saw a bunch of people I know. And I saw this guy in a robe, and I looked over and I'm like, so who's this motherfucker supposed to be? Matt Cardona Light? You know, didn't know who he was. And somebody's like, oh, yeah, he's this guy. He's in Cali, blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever. I'm busy talking to a bunch of people. My kid was there, a bunch of others. Brian Cage, Chris Masters were talking about, you know, using him. And that was actually right when I was there, when I was with Brian Cage and Chris Masters. Surprisingly, and I looked over and I'm like, who's this Matt Cardona Light? And they're all laughing, blah, blah, blah. And basically, I heard from Cage, he was a guy from, you know, out of Cali. Later on, he ended up introducing himself, and it turns out, you know, he's from the Midwest area, I guess, worked for OVW a lot, but he decided that he was going to come to the New Japan Dojo and sign up for one of their 12-week courses. And he was working there. So he's like, yeah, I just want to introduce myself. I'm going to be out here a while, you know, love to work FSW, know all about it, you know. And it's always good to hear from people that, you know, how far of a reach do we have? You know, we think it's good, but it's nice to know and hear different things. Now, needless to say, went our separate ways. And then a couple months later, you know, he hit me up and Facebook to let me know that he was moving out here. And all this time I wasn't aware, but his girlfriend is Layla Gray, who is signed to AEW. So when he said, oh yeah, my girl wrestles, I had no idea who she was. So he came down and he wanted to sign up. So I gave him, you know, a reduced rate. I know he's been doing it a while, so obviously he's not going to pay the sign-up fee. He's not going to pay the full rate for a brand new student. And I gave him a pretty good deal without seeing him wrestle because I assumed he had some skill, but I have no idea. And then he introduced her, and she works a lot more of the Ring of Honor shows and stuff. And he signed in, and then like a week later, we had a show. So I mentioned it to him, and turned out I needed an opponent for Gregory Sharp. So I'm like, hey, you want to work the show in 2 days? It was probably Thursday when I saw him. Oh, yeah, sure, whatever you need. Okay, cool. So I had him wrestle Gregory Sharp, and immediately I was like, oh, yeah, this guy is definitely maybe his rate's a little high. I might have to actually drop him to the bare basement rate. I didn't give him the bare basement. I usually hold off for a little bit. Want to make a little dough off some people when I can, you know. But I was impressed with what I saw, you know. And it was interesting because you could see Luke Curtis. And when you see him, you could just see he's got that kind of attitude-y thing about him. And he tried to come in, you know, Gregory Sharp, not the most liked person in FSW, where, you know, he wrestles and he'll do whatever it takes to win. And early on, Luke Curtis, you could see, try to get enamored. Hey, I'm new, trying to show everybody. Hey, and I'm an all right guy. But when the crowd was really not responding, you saw the true Luke Curtis and you're like, okay, that's him. He's that arrogant, you know. You know, people always have that feeling out process, and his was about 2 minutes long, and then you got to see what he's really like. And again, I was still very impressed, and I think he's a guy that can fit in very, very nicely. And, you know, when he's wrestling on Future Shock, he's way ahead of those guys. It's because he's had that experience. And normally, that's the idea. When it's Future Shock and I'm bringing in guys from out of state, the Arizona guys, you know, unless they're like, you know, newer talent that's been recommended to me, it's usually guys that people say, hey, this is somebody you might want to take a look at. Like I said, a Class, a Devin Reno, a Jordan Cruz, all these guys got their start at Future Shock. And they got their start not because they were just brand new. It was because there was really no room for them before. And this was a good opportunity. Not that I probably couldn't get – I probably wouldn't have got Class in somewhere. I probably would have, because when Hammerstone and Dom and Gallo are all putting this guy over. But, hey, I got a Future Shock. Here's the shot. And it was like he wrestled Jordan Cruz. They became friends and they became part of a group for a while. But it made me realize, hey, these guys – are way above you, you know, and Luke Curtis is already on the main roster. So now it's like, okay, where is it going to fit? And it's like, you know what? I want to have a good match. Damian Drake, Adrian Rain's been doing well. Hey, this is a nice little triple threat match to see where everyone stands in that situation. Damian Drake coming off the big loss, Luke Curtis coming off the big win. And Adrian Rain, you know, feeling that he's better than Future Shock and he deserves. Well, now here's your chance. Here's a guy who 2 months ago wasn't even in FSW. So if you think you're being slighted for him, well, now here's your chance to prove me wrong.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I think that it goes without saying that match has quite a bit of combustible elements in it. You know, Damian Drake is somebody who's been in FSW for a sizable amount of time. And, you know, obviously he's probably been dealing with some things. I was going to say half his life. But, yeah, and obviously Adrian Rain, he's turned some heads as well. So that match is going to be great. Luke Curtis, though, you mentioned that, and obviously FSW fans know that, you know, he took Gregory Sharp, current FSW heavyweight champion, Gregory Sharp, to his limits. And Gregory Sharp obviously cashed in the case at the 16th anniversary show. Joe, I have to ask you. The cash-in at the 16th anniversary by Gregory Sharp, that cash-in obviously instantly vaults to, I don't want to say the very top of the cash-ins that we've seen in FSW, but have you seen any of the cash-ins that are as memorable or that stand out to you as that cash-in after the Iron Man match, after a new champion was crowned? We got a new champion, two new champions crowned in the same night.
Yeah, you know, it was great and all, but to me personally, when Graves won it and he basically turned on Solo Sikoa, so yeah. Not only did he help Hammerstone win that championship, then they cashed in that night and beat the 1%.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Hammerstone, who walked in without a belt, now had two.
Two, yeah.
So, you know, that was extremely memorable. Also, when Kevin or Karrion or Killer Cross was wrestling LA Knight, and he didn't wait till the match was over, Hammerstone cashed in and won the FSW Heavyweight Championship for the first time. The crowd went nuts, and then he motherfucked the entire crowd. As Graves came out, everybody was anticipating Graves laying out Hammerstone, and the world was shocked when Hammerstone not only laid out Graves, he basically buried the fans in the process. So those two rank right up there.
Yeah.
You know, when Chris Bay finally won the first championship of his career and cashed in on the No Limits. Well, maybe no, sorry. He won the cash in the case, but he became the No Limits champion. He got cashed in on immediately.
Hmm.
So forget that one, because he had just won the belt. That wasn't on a cash-in, but that was memorable. So most of them had been memorable. When Braxton won the cash in the case, he had the whole year, and nobody expected Kenny King to turn on Bode, who shocked the world and beat Danny Limelight, hit the Royal Flush, and Braxton cashed it. So in a lot of cases, they've been very, very memorable in terms of that.
Absolutely.
You know, shockingly, like I said, it was amazing because Ice Williams, the big fan favorite now, he won the title and the crowd went nuts expectedly.
Yep.
But Greg came in, cashed in and won, and the crowd went even more nuts.
Yeah.
Which was still surprising. So what I'm interested in seeing is the reaction that now he's the champion. When he walks out, is he cheered or is he booed? That's going to be an interesting question.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got to be there Saturday night to see, or will it be split? You know, it's the same thing now. You see Seth Rollins, he wins Money in the Bank. And that's great that he aligned with Bron Breakker. He aligned with Paul Heyman. Oh, they're these bad guys. But a lot of people like the bad guys. A lot of people think the bad guys are cool. They aren't going to not like Seth Rollins all of a sudden. And that seems to be right now where Seth Rollins kind of gets cheered a lot.
Yeah.
You know, John Cena's been doing it for 25 years. Despite him shitting all over the fans, there's still a lot of them who are cheering John Cena.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling is different nowadays. When I grew up, man, you had to love Bruno Sammartino, and you had to hate superstar Billy Graham, but I liked superstar Billy Graham. Stan Hansen was my favorite. You know, I was only like 10, but I was still glad that Stan Hansen broke Bruno Sammartino's neck.
Yeah.
You know, I was – Macho Man was my favorite of all time when he was the heel first coming in. So, you know, bad guys were cool. Ravishing Rick Rude was one of my favorites. So, you know, and nowadays it's easy to like a Gregory Sharp because the guy's really, really good.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah. And, you know, and
he's been around forever. And
he's been around forever, but he now has that hardware.
The aura over the last, I would say when Hyper Streak died and Gregory Sharp was reborn, that really turned things around for him. And then when he finally got the comeuppance and beat Remy Marcel for the Nevada State Championship, after he lost as Hyper Streak, and the whole storyline was that in 10, 11 years and of his entire career, he had never won a championship, ever. The crowd was supposed to be cheering for Hyper Streak. Remy Marcel wasn't a nice guy. Remy Marcel took the padding out and pile drove him on the wooden boards, and the crowd erupted in joy, making Hyper Streak Gregory Sharp realize, you know what? Fuck the fans. And when he started doing things for himself, everything changed. So Gregory Sharp spent 9-10 years struggling to get out of the mid-card. And now he ain't letting go.
No, absolutely not, man. It's great to see the metamorphosis when you know, you mentioned Hyper Streak up through where he is now. It's great to follow his ascent and to see how far he's come. And, you know, I think that something else that really kind of stands out to me is I mentioned that obviously FSW is an area and a location where, you know, your future legends are born, but we have some ties to another show that is going to be going on June 28th. This one is going to be taking place at 10 a.m. On the West Coast here.
Talking about
Night of Champions, there was a bit of a concern that this show was not going to happen from Riyadh. I know that you know, some people with WWE production were even stranded in one of the airports in Qatar.
I heard they were going to move it to the nearest Ramada.
You know, it's crazy, man. And that actually brings up a great kind of a question is, as a promoter, you know, you've been doing FSW for 16 plus years at this point. Obviously circumstance is not the same, but, has there ever been an instance where you had to, at the last minute, kind of scramble to get a different venue, and maybe a week's notice or even lesser amount of time?
We had a scramble, obviously not for that reason.
Oh, yeah.
When we were at Diversion Amusement and we finally secured a place to do our two-night anniversary show, did great numbers for them. And then we were doing Mecca. Not sure if it was 7 or 8, but it was it was Mecca Doomsday with the return of Killer Cross against Jacob Fatu. And they messaged me because we didn't have a signed contract. And the show was probably 2.5, 3 weeks away, maybe. And they were like, hey, we got an issue. Oh, yeah, what's the issue? Well, there's a company that wants to run a concert on the day that you booked. Is there any way you could move it? And I'm like, the way I could move it? I'm flying motherfuckers in from different states and shit. We've had this date on the docket from the last show we did. And maybe because I was dumb enough and didn't get the contract signed, but we agreed on the date. We've given you big numbers. We plan on being here, you know, 6 times a year. Well, you know, the owner, they're going to pay him a lot more money. And it's like, okay, they're going to pay him a lot more money for one concert. We're going to be here 6 times. I guarantee you they're not going to pay us more because we ain't coming back, motherfuckers. Oh, well, you know, we hope it doesn't, affect our relationship. I'm like, no, it doesn't, because as of now, we don't have one, and I will never go back there, which I was lying, because I would go back there if they paid me, but I would never go back there and pay them to be there. It's like, you guys don't do shit. And we went in there and killed it for you guys, and people became aware of it. I got invited there to go to a Golden Knights watch party to check out the venue that you were charging like $50 a head for dinner and shit for the watch party that didn't have 15 people there. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you guys aren't drawing flies. And the food wasn't that great either. It was like 7 courses that were like little cups, like little fucking gelatin cups. Like, hey, here's the first... And it was funny because it was like, oh, here's the first course. It was fucking potato chips, bro. It was like, are you kidding me? This is gourmet food? And then when the food was good, it was like a meatball. That was the appetizer, was one meatball. It was like they thought they were the Bacchanal room at Caesar's Palace, where I remember going there with my wife, and it was like $150 each, I think. Not 75. I think it was 150 each. And it was like they belly danced and gave you six course meal that when you were done, you're like, hey, where are we going to dinner? Because that's how little the fucking food was. And it was like we had a scramble, and that's how we got back into the Silver Nugget when I approached them about possibly doing something. So, but, you know, there have been times where, you know, you could see recently with the stuff with Ice that's going on. And I'm not talking about Ice Williams, but that there was a lot of canceled shows the past couple of weeks due to people being concerned for safety and things like that. You know, when there was the riots, if we were running that day, I'm not sure we still would. If we were running at Silver Nugget, I guarantee you we probably would have had to cancel the show. You know? I know Kevin's excited about having a match, but yeah. I'm not sure how excited he is in going into possibly, you know, a war zone to have that match.
Exactly. And, you know, let's talk about that. I mean, Killer Cross, Karrion Cross, Kevin Cross, whatever you want to call him, he is going to be facing Sami Zayn at Night of Champions in Riyadh. And obviously that's going to be our... I mentioned the local tie to that show. That's going to be a great match and something that they've been building for quite some time. It's great to see Karrion Kross getting new merch, getting on the show. And it just talk for me for a minute. I don't know if you've had any chance to speak with Kevin about it. You know, how's he thinking? How's he feeling about his current run right now?
Yeah, it's been a little while since I talked to him. It's probably been at least a month. I know people who do talk to him. And that quote that I had mentioned was something that I was told. You know, it's been leaked, so I'm not giving out any information. But I did know his contract was coming up. And being in the know that knowing it was coming up, it was weird to see around Mania that he was starting to get this momentum. Yes. That looked like it was going to lead to something. But for some reason, if you weren't in the know, it was really weird because it was like, this guy's getting these little spots and people are starting to get behind him, you would think you would give this guy some matches to get him into the mix. But somehow they've kind of continued it to where he hasn't gotten anything. And due to an injury to Dominic Mysterio,
right
now Kevin has gotten the match.
Yeah.
And now the question becomes, look at the finish. If you see a finish where Kevin goes up, I got to believe some kind of agreement, because I do not know. You know, I can't believe that they're going to leave that on the table, because regardless of everything, it seems to me that he has value, and now WWE can see that value. I always knew he had value, but now he's gotten that opportunity to showcase what we always knew he could do, and that was engage a crowd, make them care. And in the early days of NXT, he got over, but his girl did the talking, and he never got to showcase what many people believed was the reason he got signed in the first place, and that was the way he could command an audience, you know, the TikTok and the pay the toll and all that stuff was created at FSW.
Yeah.
You know, and we discussed a lot of that stuff that he took to the major leagues of professional wrestling, that he took to TNA, that he took to AAA, that he took to WWE, that he took to NXT, that Karrion Kross that you see was the Kevin Kross who started in FSW.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare to see somebody from day one to making it to the major leagues of wrestling. Go look at Damian Priest. He was 100 pounds overweight.
Right.
He was a low card guy in Ring of Honor. And I was like, signing him, he's like 40, who cares? But he reinvented himself to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
And Kross started, and he still is, really a cleaned up version of that same character. LA Knight, Sean Ricker, let me talk to you. He said that they wanted our place.
Yeah.
You know, go on YouTube and check out the Rickerisms, because they were so entertaining. I would have him do, like, one day I had him do like 10 minutes worth, and we'd cut him up and he'd have 15 of them, and we'd air them on the YouTube because we had the TV show on the CW locally. And that would be part of everything, because if he wasn't there, or when you do a taping, it's two or three shows on one show. So he's only on once, but he was so entertaining. But his character is an extension of everything he did when he was an independent wrestler in California and in FSW.
Yeah.
You know, the only one who is blatantly different is Solo Sikoa. You know, he came in and they made him, which I thought was like, oh, you know, he was the fighter. He was the street fighter. And it was like, he didn't really have a character in FSW other than he was really a bloodline member. He was his kid. He was the Usos' brother. That alone catapulted him to where people were taking notice of who he was. He was a guy who didn't have a lot of experience, but in his early matches, he was head and shoulders above anybody who'd been doing it for 8 months or a year. And you knew that guy was, when he was ready, he was getting that spot. Because he had the natural ability already, because he grew up with it. So what he lacked in physical experience as a wrestler, it was second nature to him. So, you know, and Lacey was always Lacey. She came with us with experience, didn't have a lot of connections, didn't know people, kind of got in with the right people here, right place, right time, boom, and she got signed up. But she was kind of in the same role of, she's a really, really good wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't, hey, she's a good wrestler for a female, she's a good wrestler.
Period.
And as you saw in WWE, what she may have lacked in, you know, that personality and the mic work, they made sure when they had the up and comer that they felt was going to be that superstar, they had her in the ring with Zoe Stark, because they knew they were going to get an A plus match out of somebody who might be a little on the fence when it came to their ring work.
Yeah.
So, but you know, Cross and LA Knight, they're the same, you know, obviously they've gotten better, but they knew who they were from the day I met them.
That's awesome.
And that doesn't happen. That wasn't Chris Bay when he first came in. He may have been confident, but Chris Bay grew tenfold. Jay Vidal grew tenfold when he got signed by TNA. He was nowhere near that when he first walked in the door. Jacob Austin Young, Matt Vandegrift in New Japan. You know, Matt was this chubby kid who could do cool things, who was a no limits type guy, you know, X division type guy who was 6 feet tall and kind of chunky. And then he became a guy who was really toned up, kind of had an idea, persona, and a look. You know, Jacob Austin Young, always hard nosed, was always a struggle on the microphone, but he worked and he worked and he worked. And you saw guys like that. You saw a bad dude, Tito, you know, fluctuated with his weight and up and down, but he was always really good. And Ryan Taylor, guys that we used early that we thought their expiration date made them have no opportunity. And my kid's like, holy shit, that guy looks like Ryan Taylor on NXT. And it's like, yeah, there's no way Ryan Taylor. Guy's been doing this for 15 years. It was 2009 when I almost booked him for my first show. I did book him, and he canceled over $10. Oh, still used him later on because the local company was going to pay him the same amount, but if I can give him $10 more, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you the $10 more. Now what happens when that company says, well, we'll just match it? I might have to give you another $5 more? So it's like, yeah, you just take that booking, and it took a while, but we used Ryan Taylor. So that was 2009. It had to be 11, 12 years later. And he was already in 2009, been around for a couple years. So it took him 13, 14 years. Same thing with LA Knight, Sean Rickard. By the time, you know, we were at the Silverton, probably 2017, seven, 8 years later, that all of a sudden it was like, man, that guy didn't reinvent himself. It wasn't like, man, there was no reason. We all thought he should got signed the minute we saw him. We're like, this guy's going to be signed. And then he was, and then he got released. Then he got signed by TNA. And then it looked like he was going to be released again from WWE when he was Max Dupree or whatever the fuck. And now look at him. Now, all of a sudden, you know, he's signing a multi-million dollar contract for a guy that, you know, if that Bray Wyatt feud didn't happen for him, or Vince stayed in control, or whatever it was, you know, Eli Drake might still be my, might be my champion today.
And you mentioned Zoe Stark, Lacey Ryan. Have you talked to her lately? Do we know how she's doing with the rehab with her knee?
I talked to her literally like 4 days before it happened. Because we were there, and I was talking to her husband, Tom, who's the one who trained John Cena and Samoa Joe and our own Matt Michaels.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, not everybody works out in the world of professional wrestling, but, you know, she had been off TV for a while. So she had been training she did for many years with Matt Vandegrift and the crew. And she was there, and I literally saw her, talked about going to sushi with Tom. And it was probably that Wednesday, because I think the Luchas were coming in after. So it was probably that Wednesday. And she didn't tell me, but Matt did, because he said, yeah, she was trying to get back in because they were going to be using her on Monday, which was for whatever tournament thing they were doing where she got hurt. And that was literally Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 5 days later, And so I haven't talked to her since. You know, when I see her, I talk to her all the time. But she was going through stuff, and it's kind of that weirdness of, you know, 9 million people are hitting you up. I'm not your closest friend. You know, I try to get the information through people that, you know, I know are closer to her to find out how's everything, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I only kind of seen what I read and knew the injury looked horrible. Yeah. I was literally at the school, and my kid had to get something, so we were there. We were watching, and then I left, and I drove home, and then he basically messaged me like, oh, shit, you know, Lacey got fucked up. And then I saw the thing, the way the knee fucking went, it was like, oh, atrocious. And, you know, it looked horrible. So, you know, that one ain't going to be no six-month recovery, unfortunately. No. So, but yeah,
all the best to Zoe Stark, Lacey Ryan, for sure. You know, speaking of women's wrestling and FSW, we've got FSWW, the future stars of women's wrestling, returning very soon to FSW. And Joe,
August 31st, we got the date.
August 31st, let's talk a bit about that. What's on tap for future stars of women's wrestling?
You know, I'm trying to make a splash, bringing this thing back. You know, people that we have, friends that are no longer in WWE, you know, reaching out to Shotzi, love to have her on the show. You know, I'm always thinking, I made the call. I saw Natalia's wrestling, Reality of Wrestling. She wrestled Bloodsport. She seems to really, she's doing the NXT. She seems to evolve, you know, she seems to want to get out there and wrestle. Yeah. And it's like, well, I know Chris Bay is very tight with that between Natalia and TJ Wilson. So I reached out to Brittany Brooks today, like, hey, let's see if we can make it happen. Love to have Natalia on the show, if possible. Layla Gray from AEW, she got the confirmation from AEW. So she'll be working our shows moving forward. Trisha Dora, who lives out here. So, you know, a promotion that has been led by Gypsy Mac and Maserati and Zamaya and Brittany Brooks. Now we're adding, you know, two AEW superstars in Layla Gray and Trisha Dora. And Brooke Havoc, who works for GCW, who's worked a bunch for us. You know, we're hoping we could still make it happen, but somebody who we were very high on, Jada Stone, officially signed with TNA.
Yeah.
So if you want to have a who's who of a women's division, especially on the West Coast, you're going to have to search far and wide. You know, MK, you know, he's got a lot of connections. You know, we're already talking about possibly some talent from CMLL or AAA or, you know, because there's a little confusion on what they can do independently, because I heard Psycho Clown is not going to be taking independent bookings after August. So that might have something to do with WWE. You know, I was inquiring. I was like, oh, Mr. Iguana has been following us for a while. Like, hey, you know, I know Conan. I can hit him up. But it seems like a lot of these guys might be on hold, because it wasn't that far long ago that we were looking at getting Commander on the show. And then all of a sudden he exploded on AEW. And initially, because he was working the GCW shows a couple years ago, we were going to have Commander on the Future Legend men's show. And that kind of fell through because of his AEW, that they were only letting him work GCW that weekend. So, you know, we're always trying, you know. Money is an important issue, but it isn't the overriding factor. Obviously, you know, if I feel somebody wants way too much, but if we could make it happen, you know, same thing with Shotzi. You know, I got an idea of her number, a little higher than I thought, but it was expected. But we have good relationships and things like that. You know, there's meet and greets. There's ways to incorporate the money.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. And again, so FSWW, we now have a date. So August 31st, that's going to be coming soon. Can't wait to see the card come out for that. And yeah, you've made some eyebrows pop up for sure. I know with the names that you just mentioned there. So keep your eyes peeled to all of the social media stuff for future Stars of Wrestling. And it goes without saying that WrestleMania is coming back to Vegas in April of 2026. And as we know, those slots at the arena are filling up. How many confirmations do we have, Joe?
Well, we're waiting on a couple of more. Company out of Arizona that we know well. And they had mentioned sending the deposit this week. I haven't talked to them in a few days. I told them there's no rush. It's like, just tell me the time slot. I'll hold it for you. It ain't like you know, we're in June, bro. It's like, you know.
Right.
So I fully expect everything to be sold out in terms of venues. We're looking at multiple venues. We're looking at multiple shows. We got a huge meeting next week with a major property about doing something. They hit us up, you know.
Oh, wow.
And like I said, because of the fact that, you know, I might be wrong, I'm not sure, but it's like in our 15 years before, I know we've done some media and been in the review journal, and we've had some good articles in the Las Vegas Weekly newspapers in Mesquite, but I think maybe we might have been on TV maybe once in 15 years. And then in the last, you know, two or three months, we've been on four times on two different stations. So people are now coming to wrestling. People that you don't know of, you don't be aware of. You know, this is a company that all of a sudden I looked up and it's like, wow, this is a big fucking deal. They're hitting me up. The operating partner's hitting me up. And it's like, well, if I'm not mistaken, the operating partner is the boss, is the owner who's getting his marketing team because he wants to talk with me about partnering up and doing some stuff. And now this is a company that has numerous places throughout the United States. So it doesn't mean it's only a Vegas thing, but they got a major property on the Strip. We're working with the Hard Rock Cafe. What's funny to me is many, many, many years ago, I used to work college radio as the music director, me and my boy David Penna. We used to go to the Hard Rock because I used to work at as an intern at a college. I was the music director of my college radio station. So I got an internship at a record company, Polygram. So I used to get free tickets, go all the stuff. But we were like right across the street from like the Letterman Theater, if anybody's aware, like off Broadway on like 57th Street. So we would always hang out. And when we'd go to a show, we'd always get tickets to the Garden where we would see Metallica and Ozzy and all the, you know, that hair metal bands and the Hair Nation and the heavy metal. So we would always somehow end up at the Hard Rock Cafe in New York. And through the radio station, the Pile Driver album came out and there was a press conference that we were invited to. And it was Jimmy Hart and the Honky Tonk Man. And at the time, Honky Tonk Man was the Intercontinental Champion. And he was headlining the main event at Madison Square Garden that night. So we went to do the interview and, of course, got tickets to go see the Macho Man wrestle Honky Tonk Man. Non-title intercontinental match, which was the main event of the show, and the intermission match was Hulk Hogan defending the WWF Heavyweight Championship against Earthquake. Okay,
oh, man.
And that was right when the Macho Man was becoming beloved, and it was non-title, so of course there was not a schmazzy finish. And Macho Man dropped the elbow, won the match, 1-2-3. The crowd went fucking berserk. And it's funny that another time we were walking into or walking out of the Hard Rock. We had finished eating the pulled pork sandwich that I used to love all the time. And as we were going to go to the parking garage, all of a sudden out of a cab comes Brett the Hitman Hart. And of course I stop and we talk. Hey, big fan. Cause I love Brett the Hitman Hart. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, we just did a show at the Meadowlands, which was in Jersey, which was 20 minutes away. And I got to talk to Bret Hart, who at the time, you know, at that time, I'm probably 19 or 20, big wrestling fan. You know, Bret Hart was one of my, was my favorite wrestler at that time, him and the Macho Man. And it's funny that all those years later, I got to work with the Hard Rock Cafe because they hit me up about wanting to do wrestling, where we almost did the Chris Bay show there, but we did the watch party and I got him the Godfather and they were ecstatic. And now, thankfully, by doing WrestleMania again this year, we're going to have some really big things happening there. So there's so much that's going on because so many companies, it's really a shame because doing this for so long, I've had so many people that were interested in being sales guys and trying to make money. And it's like, hey, you know, 15, 20% of what you bring in, I will give you back to get some sponsors. And 95% of the time, the sponsors I end up getting because it was a Garth at the Finley because he was a fan and he gave us money. Even now, Hassan, a buddy, has been coming to the shows for years, would sponsor some bigger shows, sponsored the Bay Show. He's a tennis pro, but he still wants to support, can afford it. He's now on the canvas and on the new canvas that we have. And all the people that are on there are generally wrestling fans. And you can't get sponsors because they frown and look down on wrestling. Kind of like wrestling was NASCAR 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Oh, a bunch of hillbilly rednecks, no money, white trash. It's always what you would hear about wrestling fans. That's fake. It's only for white trash, people in trailer parks. Then all of a sudden they see how much money is being spent at WrestleMania, and it's like, what? $5,000? $500 to go to the Hall of Fame ceremony? You know, how much you're paying for the Undertaker's one-night-only show, all the money that's now being brought in because of wrestling, and all of a sudden, oh, wrestling's pretty cool. We want to have wrestling. So FSW is the only show that's going to advertise a sold-out Silverton. Sure, we ain't 10,000, 20,000, but there's enough wrestling fans to come to our shows. We're around. You look at our roster. You look at our talent base. You look at our training. You look at our school. We have everything that that has to offer. You know, the Channel 8 guy gets to come in, JC Fernandez, and do some wrestling. You know, and they talk to us because we're the traditional wrestling. Yeah. We've got guys who've been signed to the major contracts. We're that stepping stone. I don't have enough of an ego to be like, oh, no, we're better than that. We're better than WWE. We're there to help because as great it is to be the heavyweight champion of FSW, but look at FSW. I can proudly say, hey, LA Knight, he was an FSW champion before he ever made it in this business. I think I have a great eye for talent. Brian Cage, Cross, Hammerstone when he wasn't known. And the list goes on, and Solo Sikoa and Chris Bay and Lacey Ryan, you know, and it's like Jacob Austin Young and look at Royce and Jarrell. Right. You know, I put them together as a tag team because I felt they had what it took. Now I didn't put them together because they were there and they magically became the best tag team. They decided that they were going to put the effort in, put in the work, and they became one of the best tag teams. And now, you know, they were the champs in New Japan Strong.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Jacob Austin Young, once again, back in Japan on the tour. So these were all guys. Now, did we train Jarrell and Royce? No, but they didn't have near any of the success till they became the 1%. And then they became the top tag team, replacing the Reno Scum, who was our main tag team before that, than the entire West Coast. And neither one of them were from Vegas. So, you know, I think we've done a good job. And I think I know how to speak to people. And I know when I have this meeting, I'm going to hit a home run. I'm going to tell them the value of what we're doing. You know, a lot of times in the wrestling business, so many people are full of fucking shit. Like, I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm not going to lie about it, and I'm going to be truthful. And I think some people respect that. Some people don't like it, afraid of it, scared of it, don't like to be hearing the truth, but I'm going to tell you, you know, what I think. And you know, I see it all over Facebook and the disgruntled vet and this guy. And it's like, you know, your friend is somebody who tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And I've seen our students, they'll not go to somebody's class because somebody will ream them out for doing shitty stuff. And they're telling you that because you're not going to get better if you're told how great you are. Because as good as Chris Bay is, he still would come in to train 3 days a week, whether it was on his own. Lacey Ryan, she wasn't signed. She was the FSW Women's Champion. There was a pandemic. Let her have a key. And she'd come in 3-4 days a week with a group of guys to come in and work to be better. I don't want to be the FSW champ. I love it. I want to be the WWE champ. I want to be an AEW champ. I want to be able to not have to work a job other than being a professional wrestler. I love FSW. And maybe one day they'll be able to make a living wrestling in FSW. But we all know that that's what independent wrestling is.
Yeah.
You know, we sell 105 front row tickets to our big anniversary show. We won't have, you know, we're happy if we have 105 people at a show because there's a lot of things going on. Everybody, you know, they want to make the big shows, the special shows. Not everybody's going to make every show we do, but they know the big ones. They know the important ones. They want to be there for those. But there's a lot to do in Las Vegas. Oh, yeah. So, you know, we're trying to offer everybody a reason to come. And, you know, sometimes you're going to laugh. Sometimes you're going to cry. Sometimes you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is the best match I've ever seen. And some people are going to be like, man, this was as hard hitting as any match I've ever seen. Oh, shit. Yeah. This was as funny as anything I've ever seen. Hey, I like this new guy that Joe brought in. Because I try to explain to people, you know, a lot of times we would draw really well. And for some of the bigger shows, we really didn't have all the matches out yet, you know. Oh, well, you know, because when you didn't draw well, it was because all the matches weren't out. And it's like, no, that's not the reason. I said the bottom line is the reason we were more successful than all the other companies that were coming out was whether we had your favorite wrestler on the show, or like at a Scars and Stripes. Well, Matt Vandegrift, he's banged up. Jay Vidal's not on that show. Bateman's not on that show. Duke Lawrence not on the show. Bodie's not on the show. Brittany Brooks not on the show. Gypsy Mac's not on the show. Oh, all the real man, how many great people aren't on the show? I'm not going to bother going. Oh, did you know Dante King's on the show? Did you know Gregory Sharp's on the show? Did you know Remy Marcel, Maserati? Oh, shit. There's a lot of good motherfuckers on the show.
Hell right. Yeah.
Because we have a lot of good motherfuckers. And it's like, you know, look around. A lot of these shows, you can see FSW talent. But a lot of times, it's going to be lower ended. Will there be some really good people on the show? Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll always have a lot more really good people on our show.
Yeah.
In terms of experience level, done more in the business, you know. Sure, Demir Morningstar, good young up-and-coming talent. Davion, Adrian Rain, you know, Mariachis. You know, you could name, you know, I can name 12, 14, 16 talents on FSW that are good. And in a lot of shows you see them, those 16 people are generally in their top 10 of the show they're on locally. A lot of times, no disrespect, but they're not in the top 10 of an FSW show because you just went and saw Watson, who's had a battle to become one of those top guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Danny Limelight started at Diversion in 2021 and had to climb the ladder. And Ice Williams is a top guy. And Gregory Sharp's a top guy. Remy Marcel's been a top guy. Duke Lawrence has become a top guy. Bodie's a top guy. You know, Gypsy's become a top talent.
For sure.
Brittany, Maz, Rochelle, who hasn't been around, who was the champ. Alice Blair, who hasn't been around, she was the champ. You know, these are people that you can see generally all over the West Coast. There's a reason for that. The Suavecitos, they're gone for about a year. They're back.
Yeah.
But they're all over the place. You know, Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire, you know, they came together. They've been friends for a long time, started working together, and they've gelled to be a top tag team. Even they're not around, makeshift chemistry, injuries, you know, AJ and Fox.
Yeah.
They became a really good tag team. Definitely. You know, both less than 25 years old, been doing it for, they were doing it for a year, year and a half. But, you know, AJ had, you know, Jay Vidal to tell him when he was fucking up.
Yeah.
And you need that mentorship. And when there's a locker room that 10 guys could walk, 10 guys could be nowhere in sight for you to talk to, there'll still be 10 others that you could talk to. Kenny King's in the fucking Battle Royal with 20 young guys.
Exactly.
He's putting together the Battle Royal. Kenny's not like, fuck, I'm not in the match. Fuck it. Just give me my money. I'm going to do the Battle Royal. No, he got there late, whatever. Hey, everybody, I need you all here. This is what's going on. Pay attention. And then what happens? He comes to the class on Wednesday. Let's go over the show. Oh, even the Battle Royal? Yep, even the Battle Royal. See some of the stupid shit you might have did. Critiquing guys. Who's being critiqued? How can you be critiqued? I don't see any footage of anything else around half the time. 90% of the time. You know, I look. Hey, there was a show Saturday. We didn't have one. Hey, there was, you know, there's always going to be a couple good matches, some good people. Like to see some stuff. A lot of times you don't see nothing. The biggest complaint I always hear from wrestlers is not having their footage. Like, the only reason it took 3 days to have our footage was the computer was at the Silverton. We'd have to go back and set it up. Sorry, Mikey has a job. He can't set it up, you know, at midnight on Sunday just so he can get you your footage. You can wait till Tuesday. You know, I hear you guys all complaining, but what about those 20 shows you worked locally that you haven't had to show for a year? I don't know. How does that make you better? So I could sit here, I could bitch about those companies all day. But why bother? That's giving them free publicity.
Exactly, man. And, you know, let's go ahead and just give the hard sell for the show one more time. FSW Scars and Stripes, Saturday, June 28th, live at the FSW Arena, 6035 Harrison Drive. And if you can't be there live, maybe go ahead and check it out on Triller. Yes.
Check it out on Triller. You never know. It could be your last experience watching Triller. I don't know.
Absolutely, man. All right. Well, Joe, any final thoughts, man, before we wrap up?
Hey, come check it out, man. We got a lot of build. We got August 17th. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we're good to go with the Silverton. I got to talk to them this week because, you know, I'm always waiting for checks. So I'm waiting for the check on the Silverton show that I had to pay everybody and the venue for. So I'd like that money, being that, you know, rent is due in a week. That's bad enough. I got enough people owing me money from the thing. So, you know, so we still got money coming from the Silverton. We still got money coming from Triller. We still got money coming from a lot of places. So, you know, I'm not ready to start a GoFundMe yet. So
not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So help us by, you know, helping us out on Saturday by increasing the gate so I can pay everybody on time and not, you know, and bring enough income that show to not have to just send it to them Cash App or Venmo after the show, which I sometimes got to do because unfortunately the cash influx at the shows went from 90% to like 15% because not, you know, maybe less, but all the money is generally, you know, back in the day, it was crazy. People would come to the arena on Tuesday just to pay me for the show on Saturday. Now it's like they just Zelle it, Cash App it, Venmo. And then the day of the show, we have the square and we swipe it. So, you know, Fred and Jamie, God bless them. You know, they're all around 80. So, you know, they probably don't know how to use them. But they always come in with cash, which is greatly appreciated. You know, they're the old school. And they still bring cash to the events.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. Cash is still king.
It's still king, man. At least for now. But in the meantime, guys, thank you for hanging out with us. For Joe DeFalco, I'm Sin City Steve. And we will see you guys next week for more DeFalco Files. Scoping wide, secrets learned, none will hide. Rising star.